Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
This moves 20 miles to the west, and you and everyone you know are dead. All of you. Because you can't survive it. It's not possible unless you're very, very lucky. And your kids die too.
A reporter on Fox News telling people they're going to die from the hurricane that swept out the sea. And of course he keeps his job. There are no consequences, as you well know, in the news business. Unless you tell the truth, in which case you don't even get the job to begin with. Truth tellers don't get jobs at Fox News. Only hysterics and alarmists get jobs. And if you can cross your legs 15 times an hour and wear shoes properly, you make $6-7 million a year. I'm not jealous. I mean, the fact of the matter is, why does he still have a job? The man put out an alarmist message that you're going to die from the storm. The storm blew out the sea, basically. It brushed. Let's say it brushed. But compared to the predictions, now, for the last 2 days, I've been telling you they would blame it on global warming. And, of course, they did. Hillary, of course, didn't miss the opportunity. And, of course, yesterday I gave you some scientific evidence that anyone who has a high school education can follow, which is worth hearing about the 3 millimeter per year rise of sea levels over the last 120 years, as studied by British and British and American Naval Institutes, and then confirmed by satellite data. The sea levels have only been rising 3 millimeters a year for 120 years. And yet the hysterics keep putting out the lies. That's something you should know. Of course, there have been hurricanes before Obama was born. There were hurricanes, I think, even before Hillary was born, but that's stretching it. I'm not sure. She goes back so far, I'm not sure there were hurricanes in the Pliocene. But nevertheless, yeah, hurricanes did exist. They have been known to wipe portions of the earth away, even before there was industrialization. And these occur as a result, boys and girls, of natural phenomena, not because of methane gas coming out of cows' behinds. It's gotten so crazy that the most zany elements of our world are now running the world. The stupidest people on the planet are now running the world off the cliff. That's the opening to the show. Now, I pull out my Bible, the Holy Bible, and I begin the show by saying, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And come January, you will actually get to see me and my Bible with the 300-400 post-its in it to show you that I really do try my best and that I have to answer to a higher power. And, of course, the ultimate higher power is not you or me, nor even the people who control my stations. The ultimate higher power is somebody up there. And so here we go. The phone number is 855-407-282, 855-407-SAVAGE. And it is open mic to Mike Friday. So what do you want to talk about? Which story bothers you the most? Which story intrigues you the most? Or if you wish, I will take requests. Or I'll tell you I'll do something special for you today, since you're all probably in a strange mood, which is I may actually ask Dr. Unsavage to come into the studio for an hour sometime, half an hour today. He's a very busy man, Dr. Unsavage, and he will answer your questions, no matter what they may be, in the most unsavage manner. And so if you care to ask Dr. Unsavage a question, the phone number is 855-407-282, 855-407-SAVAGE. Or if you care to talk about ISIS is going to send wannabe serial killers to the West in a bloody new terror tactic. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You missed that because Barry didn't tell you about it. Barry keeps extolling the virtues of the throwbacks. ISIS is going to send wannabe serial killers. They're recruiting serial killers from the Muslim world, which they will smuggle into the West under the refugee banner, to commit new terror attacks. But don't tell that to Barry from Honolulu, because for him, there's only such thing as a good Muslim. There's no such thing as a bad Muslim. No one can ever see or say anything negative about Islam or Muslims. Even if bombs go off, people are stabbed or shot in the name of you-know-what, you can't say it, because if you do, well, it violates the protocols of the elders of reality. And the phone number again, which you know, now the lines are lit up because everybody wants Dr. Unsavage. They're bored to death. And if Jim will get him up, I'll take him, or I'll start taking on-screen calls, because otherwise I'll have to ad-lib for 15 straight minutes, and I'm liable to have a heart attack. So, Jim, if you can speed up the fingers or just open the lines, I'm going to start taking my calls. Line 3, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello. Michael, I would like to let you know that when I was in Ephesus, the docks that were built 6th century B.C. were 4 meters away from the water, which means back then the water was about 13 feet from
higher
than what it is now.
Now, wait, when you said when you were where, sir?
In Ephesus, Turkey, where...
And what year was that? What year was that?
Well, Ephesus was built in the 6th century, and
okay.
Stood at their docks. The water was 8 kilometers away or 4 meters lower than what it is today.
So what is your point?
Well, the point is the water was 13 feet to 14 feet higher back in those days than what it is now.
So what is your point?
Well, the point is if it got back to where it was in the 6th century, we'd have oceans 14 feet higher. In other words, at one time, the oceans were, at that time, 14 feet higher than what they are now.
So why are they lower? Why have the ocean levels actually retreated over the centuries?
It's the ebb and flow. That's all it is. It's
all right.
The ebb and flow.
Now, this is the important thing, is we're not arguing for pollution. We're not sitting here saying, isn't it great that we create hydrocarbons and that we pollute the earth? No one is saying that. But if you're going to clean up the environment, you've got to do it on the basis of honest science, not on fraudulent hysteria that only actors who are stoned out of their gourd can believe. Where are you calling from? What station are you listening to me on?
In Idaho. I'm not sure what the station is. I forget all the time.
Where? What are you, in a hidden location in Idaho, huh?
Oh, Boise, Idaho.
Boise. Oh, KBOIS, right?
Yes, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, well, I'm sending you Scorched Earth. I think that you're allowed to read it up there. Restoring America after Malbama. That's if it's even possible to restore it. Again, that opens up 50,000 lines at 855-407-282. I got lots of calls. I'm just kidding. But we got plenty of people calling. It's a Friday. I got to jazz the show up. I need another cup of coffee. I do. I absolutely have to have a cup of coffee right now, even though it's Friday and the weekend and the Fleet Week and the Blue Angels and the Navy ship and the restaurant and the dinner and the this and the that and the this and the that and the weekend. I'm exhausted in advance. I'd rather be alone. I mean, the truth is, here's the thing about people who are socially withdrawn. They sometimes imagine what it would be like not to be socially withdrawn, so they over-involve themselves in social events. And then they wish they didn't, because they'd rather be withdrawn, complaining about being withdrawn. But I've actually put myself where I want to be, which is, this is the only place I want to be socially, is on the microphone. And what do I need anything else for? What's the point of any other contact with any other being? Isn't digital good? Why would I want to have an analog relationship? I'd much rather have an MP3 relationship with the world. It's much safer. Maybe, does anyone want to hear from Dr. Unsavage out there? Did anyone get it? Oh, we got a Dr. Unsavage caller, Elliot. I haven't heard from him in a while. Elliot, line 8, WABC. What's on your mind, Elliot?
Hi, how are you, Dr. Savage? It's a pleasure again to speak to you, to a fellow waiter from the Catskill.
Right, just what I needed. That's terrific. Now tell me you knew my Aunt Bella. So what's on your mind today, Elliot?
I wanted to ask you this question for a long time. Do you feel that there is, like, the G20 countries created terrorism to create fear in the masses, so through this fear, they will give us security and keep control on us?
Well, it's a reasonable question, given that our intelligence agencies continuously tell us after every terror attack that they had the person conducting the terror attack, who was invariably a practitioner of a certain faith, that they had him under surveillance, but they didn't do anything about it. And that goes back to the question of how many fires have been set over the years by firemen to justify these exorbitant budgets for fire departments. I think that's what you're arguing, aren't you?
Yes, exactly.
Except there's one problem with your possible thesis, which is that, unfortunately for the world, the holy book of that particular faith has been at war with the world for 1,400 years. So it came along long before the G20 existed. It came along quite a while ago, and they've been at a war with the infidel since 1,400 years ago. That's something that they don't teach you at Harvard University, nor even at Yale, the last I checked. So, no, I don't believe that they created terrorism. I often wonder why they haven't crushed terrorism, because they know who they are. They know where they're hiding. They know exactly what they're doing. They have, if they can follow you with every one of your belches on Yahoo or Microsoft's Windows this, Windows that, Google this, Google that, every iPhone can track everybody's passing of methane, you're telling me they don't know what they're doing? They know where they are. So what prevents them from stopping it? That's the real question.
That is the question. Why can't they stop them? They can't.
Because they don't want to. See, now that's the real question. It's not that they created the terrorism. I think it's that they won't stop the terrorism because of a number of reasons, including the fact that they want to keep us intimidated and keep us frightened so that we don't see what they're actually doing in robbing the treasury. That's number one. And number two, to give them this extraordinary power over us, which is something that we really have to understand, that they could snuff this out in 90 days. If we had a president strong enough to do it, they would be ended in 90. They'd round them all up and put them in detention camps. That's number one. When I say all of them, I mean everybody who is of a particular orientation from another country in this country who is not here legally, number one. They would be under the surveillance of the government, and if they show any signs or symptoms or tendencies or inclinations towards terrorism, they would be put into preventative detention camps, because that is something that must be done to protect all of us. There is nothing wrong with internment. There is a reason it was done in World War II. There is a reason that the future president of France, Sarkozy, is recommending detention camps for radical Muslims in France right now to prevent the next terror attacks. It is perfectly rational to lock up criminals before they kill. Is that wrong or right?
That's correct. I agree with you, and that's why I'll...
That's all. That's all.
Like, you know, I have to tell you, I have my son. We're Orthodox Jews, and he was in the car with me, and I said to him, hold on, my rabbi is coming on. I have to listen to a shir. That's a learning session for those that don't know. I'm sure you do. And he says, who are you listening to? I said, listen, and it was you. He almost just burst out laughing. But you
that's
are
funny.
Rabbi.
Well, look, that's a very, very nice compliment. But for the people who don't know what actually rabbi means, it means teacher. That's all it means. Rabbi means teacher. So if I can give some information that helps people put things together, then I'm doing a good job. Now, I don't know if you're allowed to read secular books, but I'm going to send you Scorched Earth. You can give it to your super, the guy who loads the coal into the bin, okay? Stay on the line. I'm joking. He can read. He's allowed to read. He's allowed to look. Let's see. I got nice calls. I see it's going to be okay. Did we get any Doctor on Savage calls yet? That's what I really want to do. But then my voice usually goes from stress if I do Doctor on Savage, because I have to change my voice. I haven't done it in many years. And I think it's very hard for me to do a kind of liberal falsetto voice, but I'll try one or two on Savages. It used to be very popular on the program. I'll be back in a minute to try it right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Breaking news to you on the Savage Nation. An edict has just come down from Barack Obama's White House saying that we are no longer to refer to storms such as this as hurricanes. It is offensive to women. And from now on, we must refer to them as himicanes. So add that to your new lexicon of English under Obama. No longer will they be called hurricanes. They should be called himicanes, or else you may feel the full force of the U.S. Justice Department. KBET Radio. Kirk, welcome to the Savage Nation, Line 7.
Thank you. I wanted to talk to Dr. Unsavage about my son.
Uh-oh. Well, you go ahead. He's in the room. Dr. Unsavage is over there. He'll be in a minute.
Dr. Unsavage, I'm extremely worried about my son. He's exhibiting some behavior I don't know how he's going to cope with today's world. He insists on going to restrooms marked men only. and he's standing up to bullies at school. And I just don't think he's going to survive in today's world.
Doctor on Savage, you have a comment? I'll be over in a minute. Oh, here he is. Here he is. So how are you? What's the problem? Your son wants to go to the men's room. He's a boy.
The problem
is the fact that your boy has not been properly trained in diversity training, number one. And number two, you're going to have to teach him a little bit not to believe what he sees in the mirror so much. That what he sees in the mirror may not be who he is. He's too young to decide yet if he's a boy or a girl. Which is why the superior view of this is that you are what the government tells you you are.
What about standing up to bullies? He's showing an alarming tendency to do that.
Well, this is an example of too much testosterone. I think you may have to go for a government surgical. Remove the things that have caused the testosterone, and he won't stand up to bully. He can then roll over for the bully. This is the new America, where the boy stands up for nothing. He rolls over, it's better, it's a new America. This is what you want for Dianne Feinstein's America. Any other questions for the doctor?
No, doctor, thank you very much. You've ensured a success in today's America.
All right, Doctor and Savage just left the studios to go have a cigarette outside. Is that funny? If Doctor and Savage smoked, that's something that Doctor and Savage probably would do. All right, so if you want to play with this, we'll do it. I don't know. I gave you a new Doctor and Savage voice, which is a little bit of the seltzer-like voice. I used to do it in a falsetto, but for some reason that voice came out, and that's it. And now it's grown into something much different. It's not a smear, nothing there.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Last night, so after the show, a couple hours later, I go over to a certain place and to have a drink. No one that I know is there. And there's some guys come in. They're Mexican guys or Guatemalan guys, and they say to me, hello, how are you, Michael? We work in that other restaurant you go to. How you doing? So we start to talk. I buy them a round of beers, and we're talking, and one of them spoke very good English. The other guy spoke halting English. And as he was speaking, he said to me, he's Mayan, which opened up a whole world for me, because I said to him, well, I'm very interested in the Mayan culture. And I said, did you see that movie called Apocalypto? And he said, yes. He said, but to us, the accents were all wrong. I said, that's interesting. That was number one. That was the first time I ever heard anyone who actually speaks the Mayan language tell me that the accents were wrong. How would I know if the Mayan accent is wrong? It's like watching American movies with fake Southern accents. They get all of the harlots from Hollywood. They give them a voice coach for 3 minutes. And they all pretend to be from the South. I just love the fake accents. That's wonderful. It's like the fake New York accents that you hear from people who never lived in New York. That's the number two. So we're talking of this, that, about the Mayan. So we, after a couple of beers, we go outside, and I brought up something. I don't know what we were talking about, truthfully, just guys talking. And we went outside and looked at the sky for some reason. I don't even know how that happened. So we looked up at the sky, and I said, well, what do you see? He said, what do you see? I said, what do you see? He said, what do you see? I said, come on, what do you see? So he said, I see peace. I see peace in the sky. He said, you know, Michael, he said, the Mayans were a peaceful people. He said, the Aztecs were the warriors. Did you know that? Because he was talking about the Aztecs coming in and enslaving the Mayans. And he said, the Aztecs were the warriors. And he said, we, the Mayans, were peace-loving people. I thought that was interesting. I don't have a general statement to go to from there, like, and therefore this. There's no and therefore that. It's that it's easy to categorize. I guess what I am saying is that it's very easy to categorize a whole group of people as one thing when, of course, we all know that's not true. Again, I can generalize and I can be very, very subjective on it. I don't need to go there. But it was an interesting conversation. So I said to him, can you say something to me in Mayan? So he spoke to me, and I looked at his eyes, and I said, you know, I didn't understand one word you said to me, but I know what you said. I have this unique ability that I learned I had when I was 18 years old, that I could travel into neighborhoods where people don't speak my language and they understand me and they talk to me. I never forget when I was young, I was in Europe. Just a side note, whatever, because it's Friday. And who cares about the politics now with the global warming and the storm and the idiots in the business? God, it's enough already. Republicans. And so I remember being on a train in Europe. I must have been, what, 22, 20, I don't know how old. First big trip to Europe. The MS Waterman, the motor ship Waterman. got to Europe, and I was riding on a train. I remember going through Spain and sitting in the cars, and the old Spanish women would look at me, think I was Spanish, and they would talk to me in Spanish. And I'd mumble along and shake my head. I mean, I studied Spanish for 7 years. I kind of understood it, but, you know, there's a big difference between school understanding and real. So I didn't realize, Then when the train went to France, it got in France, Spanish got off at the border. The French women got on. The old French were sitting and talked to me in French. And they thought I would. Then when the train got to Italy, the same thing. So what is it? I'm like a universal donor. I mean, I'm that kind of person. I'm a blood type O, number one. But number two, I'm a mind type O. That's something new. You haven't read that anywhere. I just made it up. That's pretty good. Michael Savage is a mind type O. I'm a universal donor. That's very interesting. A lot of people are not mind type O's. That's fascinating. Can someone do a whole book now? I got it ready. Someone's writing a proposal in New York already. Some writer's sitting there. The mind types. Mind type A, AB, mind, ABO, yeah. $12 million advance, I'll cut my hand off. This is how it works. People get ideas from others and they sell it for $23 million. And then what are you going to do with the money? Big deal. Then what? What are you going to do with the money? What you're going to do when they come for you? So listen, again, this is very serious. The government just passed a law, by an executive order by Barry O., that you cannot refer to hurricanes anymore. They're himicanes. Did you hear what I said? Hurricanes are defamatory to the female of the species. And it's an affront to women. And it shows that you're a Trump voter if you say hurricane. So from now on, if you want to refer to Hurricane Matthew, change it to Himicane Matthew. That's where they changed the name from a Hermina to a man, because it was an insult to women to pretend that all storms are like women. You see what I'm saying? That's how it is. So remember, Himicane. Now what? You want to get very serious? No, I can't. I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's too much for me. It's so ugly. The news is so horrible. You know, how much cancer can a man look? Let me ask you something. Can I live in a cancer ward every day that I'm on the air for 3 hours a day? What do you want? It sound like I'm in a cancer ward? It's unbelievable. This is what most talk radio is like, being in a cancer ward. Every day is the same thing. This is horrible. That's horrible. He did this. The cell is mutated. It's moved to the brain, the spleen, the lungs. There's not a part of the body that hasn't moved to where we'll come back and tell you exactly how it's metastasizing. Stay tuned. And then buy my shoe. Here we're back. The cancer has spread. We're in the cancer ward called talk radio. It's too much already. But I'm going to hear it. I mean, the cancer is spreading. Here's a little story to show you. Hillary blames hurricane on climate change. Says Trump totally unfit to protect USA from the threat of climate change. What do you expect from a demagogue? Australia. Here it is. Muslim preacher expelled for saying global peace will only be established when the last Jew is killed. You hear this? Or Muslim preacher expelled from Australia for saying global peace will only be established when the last Jew is killed. We know he's been expelled from Australia, but we don't know if he's been given a top position at CAIR and whether or not he will be breaking PETA somewhere in the White House in the next 90 days to give a lecture. But, you know, I mean, that kind of fits right in behind the scenes. I'm walking. Yes, indeed, I'm talking. Yes, indeed, I'm walking. What is this now? Oh, despite the blacklisting by the Prague media, I am proud to announce that my book, Scorched Earth, has made it for the third week now to the New York Times. That's without Fox News. That's without anybody but you. Isn't that great? So if you have a copy that you've read, will you please give it to a Prague relative, wife, in-law, neighbor, to try to save America before the election? Please. Or buy another one, okay? I need a new pair of shoes. That's not the point. Now let's go to some of the callers on the Savage Nation. WABC Jake, line 6, go ahead, please. You're on the program. What's on your mind?
How are you doing, Dr. Savage? I appreciate you taking my call. I listen to you almost every day. I just had a quick question for you. Before the question, I want to let you know a copy of your book is down here in South Jersey. I'm on the waiting list in the library. I'm number 15, I believe, at number 25. And I hope I'll get a copy of it before America.
So what's your question or comment, Jake?
Well, my question is, I'm not a registered voter. I've never voted because I've never seen a reason to vote, especially here in Jersey where it's a Democratic state. And I just wanted to know how you could vote for Trump in this election when he has said some outrageous things. And
all right, give me the most outrageous thing that Trump said that disturbs you. Go ahead.
It began in the primary when he was attacking fellow Republicans and upstanding Republicans when it was tiny, when it was...
All right, so because he insulted little Marco and because he insulted the others, you'd rather see Hillary as president?
No, absolutely not. That would be terrible.
All right, so at least we cleared that. So can't you put aside his abrasive personality for a moment and recognize that if she wins, it's all over? Talk radio will no longer be available. I can guarantee you as I stand here that I will not be able to do the kind of show I'm doing right now if she wins. I guarantee it.
That would be terrible, too. But
all right. Therefore, so, quick, let's move it along. What's the next thing he said that you don't like?
He insulted the Khans. That was pretty bad, and he never...
Wait, he insulted who?
The Khan family,
They were a setup from the get-go. The Khan families fled the minute they were found out for what they are. They were paid for wholly by the Democrat Party. You didn't buy that, did you?
No, but if he does that when he's president, then that could be a problem.
Why would it be a problem for finally have someone who speaks the truth after all these liars we've had all these years? Well, you wouldn't like someone who's blunt? Look how popular the president of the Philippines is. He's got a 70% approval rating. You know why? Because he's killing drug dealers. He's over the top. He's killing drug dealers because the drug scourge was destroying the Philippines. He's loved by the other people. What's wrong with an honest leader?
I hear that. But my other problem with him is the fact that he comes across as unknowledgeable in foreign affairs. Every time it comes,
I agree with that. He's certainly not as knowledgeable as Pence is, for example.
Right.
Well, you know, here's my opinion on that issue. A true leader doesn't need to know everything and every leader's name and every state and every city and every government. That's something that a guy like Obama knows. But what good does that do us if he has all this minutiae, his knowledge, like a college teacher, but can't get out of his own way? He has no practical knowledge. He can hire people who know all of those things.
I hear that.
All right, look, my hands are turning cold already, like ice. The circulation just stopped running to my hands from it. I appreciate what you're asking, but I don't want to spend 30 minutes on it. And thank you for calling. You can wait in the library for the book, because you exhausted me just now. What do I have to give him a book for? He can wait. He's the number 13 on the list. It'll come in 3 years. That opens up 14 lines at 855-407-2282. KSFO, Pfizer, line 4. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Dr. Savage? I just told your producer that I've been listening to you since 94. I never called you. I listen to your show for not the politics, which I do, but just the other thing that you bring in and you just enlighten, and the thing you share with us is just amazing to me. And I'm 40 now, so I've been listening to you almost almost 20 years. But what I was telling your producer is that something in your voice, the undertone of your show, I feel there's something there.
This is interesting. That's why I took the call. You've noticed a change in the undertone of the show. Now, what do you mean by what you hear? What undertone? Come on, move it along, my friends. There's a lot of people listening. What's the undertone?
The undertone is that there is, you are changing in the sense of how you're delivering your news. It's the same news, but I can't put my finger on it.
All right, but what do you mean changing? Which way? Good, bad, how?
It's almost, you shun down business. It's almost like, you want to take us to some other place, or you want to take us into beyond what we able to see. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? No. Not really.
Well, it almost made sense to me for 1 second. I'm not quite sure what you're saying, but I think... Are you saying you sense that I want to go somewhere else with the audience and I can't get there myself, or that I'm afraid to take the audience there?
Everything you have shared with us throughout the years is great, but you almost got to a point where that doesn't matter anymore.
Ah, okay. So you sense that Michael Savage wants to transcend his own show with the audience and take the audience there?
Transcend is the word I was looking for. Absolutely. It's like,
that's beautiful. Well, you're a long 20-year listener. So, you know, you listen. It's like living with a family member and you see the person changing. You want to know where he wants to go. Where do you think I want to go with the audience?
So, yeah, somewhere great, I hope. I don't know. But I'll be there.
Well, Faisal, you're an interesting caller, and this is one of the silent listeners that you never know you have in a vast popular mass media like this called the radio. I can tell you where I suggested I was going to go. I don't think it's a mystery. I told you my first commercial book was called Earth Medicine, about American Indian medicine, 1972, Macmillan Publishing. My last book is called Scorched Earth, the last popular political book. Now, that one was a health book. I get it. Popular health, popular politics. From Earth Medicine to Scorched Earth, it's a cycle. I think the cycle's been completed from Earth to Earth. And I've been trying to say to my audience that the next book I want to do is going to be about God. Now, I don't know whether there's a market for that. I don't think that there is. I think that there's a very small audience for such an odyssey. It'd be my own odyssey and the odyssey of the callers. But I feel I have an obligation to go into that world. And maybe it's preachy and boring for mass media. I don't know. What do you think about that, Faisal? I'll take your call the minute I return on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Look, it's a long shift. It's like a three-hour shift with my audience. Do I pretend to be a broadcaster? What's a broadcaster? I have to put on like a broadcaster mentality. Well, I'll start to sound like Shepard Smith with a doomsday prediction that you're all going to die from the hurricane. Then you got a moron on the Weather Channel that the storm was going to kill you. Can you believe this? This is day and night the same thing. Everything panicking. I mean, the real facts are 94 million people are not in the labor force. Let me say that again. 94 million Americans are not in the labor force. Do you know what that means? Think about it. 94 million people don't work. What's the labor force? What does that mean? Do you know what that actually means? I do. What is the labor force? All people 16 years or older who are not in the military or an institution. 94 million of them are not working. Over 16 who are not in the military or in a mental hospital or a jail. Not working under Obama. Are you listening? Hillary's answer, green energy. You hear this? That's why Trump's going to win by a landslide if he keeps talking about the economy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Yeah, I feel good because in 4 or 5 minutes during the break, I ate an entire meal. It's great. I love that. I love gagging on food. My whole life, I love this. I love power lunch. Gagging in the radio kitchen on last night's leftovers. It works for me. I'm still alive. So far, so good. I remember being a kid. When I was 17, 16 in New York, I'd be walking around. I preferred grabbing a sandwich from a cart to sitting down in a restaurant. I used to remember I liked walking while eating. There was more to do. I hate sitting down. I never liked to sit down for anything. Now I learn that sitting down is harmful anyway, so I spend most of my life sitting down staring at screens. I'm half blind. I put on like 300 pounds from it. No, I'm joking. That's it. It's what you do. You got to do what you got to do. I mean, if a tail gunner had to sit inside the B-24 belly in the tail gun, he didn't complain about sitting inside the bubble. He volunteered for it, right? Welcome to the belly of the beast on this Open Mic to Mike Friday. We're touching on all of the lies and news and views and reviews of the government media complex. Of course, they predicted everyone in Florida would die unless you listen to Shepard Smith, who became hysterical. Then there was some moron on the hurricane, on the Himmicane channel. I mean, on the Weather Channel. And by the way, you cannot say hurricane. You must say Himmicane because it's offensive to women, according to Loretta Lynch of the Attorney General's Department. If you continue to use the word hurricane, the Justice Department will be visiting you and breaking your door in, because that's true terrorism. Now you want to know what terrorism. It's not a safe space for women for you to keep saying hurricane. It shows a form of male dominance. So you have to say Himmicane from now on. Now, not to be outdone is Hillary. Outdone dumb is Hillary, who's going to outdo herself right now. She blamed the last hurricane on climate change. Do I have to add an addendum to the fact that there were hurricanes long before the theory came along? But okay, go for three, please, Robert. Play it again, Sam.
Another threat to our country is climate change. 2015 was the hottest year on record, and the science is clear. It's real. It's wreaking havoc on communities across America.
I don't want to hear it. Right. Just give it the money for the. That's all. No one believes it anymore, except the people in the business. So, what do you want to talk about now? Again, I have to do the 3-millimeter thing? 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row, the 3-millimeter? Nah, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do any of that anymore. I'm tired of politics. Let's see what happened in the sound bin, if there's anything else. We played already Shepard Smith making a bigger ass of himself than he already is. Okay, play Smith. I don't know. This is our newscaster on Fox News. Listen to 04. This is Schlepper Smith.
Daytona Beach, all the way up to Jacksonville. This moves 20 miles to the west, and you and everyone you know are dead. All of you. Because you can't survive it. It's not possible unless you're very, very lucky. And your kids die, too.
And that's what happens when you're a stay-at-home mom. I mean, in between being on the news, I guess he's nursing the baby somehow. There's miracles happening. They can do miraculous things today. We don't know if Shepard Smith is actually nursing the child, but he's certainly not nursing America with the truth. Now, Obama, of course, blamed climate change for the Syrian civil war, which is beyond belief. In the 1930s, I told you, I found a newspaper article where an imam blamed the yo-yo for the drought. And he banned yo-yos in Syria. I mean, Obama's like a yo-yo. Listen to 06.
There's already some really interesting work, not definitive, but powerful, showing that the droughts that happened in Syria contributed to the unrest and the Syrian civil war.
Well, there's also some really interesting work, Mr. Obama, not definitive, mind you, but powerful, showing that the Holy Book itself contributed to the unrest in the Syrian civil war. I don't know why you don't know that. You're a very intelligent man who studied the Holy Book yourself through your entire childhood. Obama welcomes Pittsburgh Penguins. Not interested. I like penguins. Who doesn't like a penguin? The only one who doesn't like a penguin is like a killer whale or a. Who eats penguins? What animal eats a penguin? I always feel bad for them. Like they go fishing and they have to come back to save the chicks or they'll die. And on the way back, hovering off the iceberg is some animal that eats them. What a life. Well, most Americans don't live that way in the white suburbs, but most other Americans do. Kerry, Russia and Syria should face war. Oh, please. Oh, God, I can't play the news even. All right, let's go to the callers. Let's see what they have to say. They're better than the... Line 5, Dennis, KLIF in Dallas. What's on your mind?
Mike, write the God book because about a few months back you were talking about God and you said that God kind of... I'm paraphrasing. God despises the people that are on the fence, you know, either believe or don't believe, and God will...
I 100% still stick by that statement. God is not an equivocator. God doesn't sit on the fence. So, I've led my life that way. Have I always been, up to the standards? No, I'm not a man. I'm an imperfect creature. I'm called man. I don't hold myself up above the average person. I am the average person. I try my best, but I often fall back to earth while trying. It's all I can do. I try. It's like saying I'm going to do push-ups every night. So, I mean, I'd say 5 out of 7 nights I do the push-ups. But two nights out of the seven, I said, I don't have the strength. I don't want to do it. I just want to go to sleep. It's the same with all the other stuff. I mean, you know, five out of seven times I do the right thing. Two out of seven, I don't do the right thing. What can I do about it, right? That's all. I think that's a good statement. Like I got into a new routine since I injured my neck. You don't know about this. I've been suffering for like years. I'm going to start now with the cornflake man and go cry now with a sweater and ask you to buy like a one-time lifetime pass to see me crying on air. No. I injured my neck from doing curls. I always had dumbbells in my radio studio all the way back 20 years. I wasn't like a big weightlifter type, but I was always very fit, very wiry guy. And I always had 20-pound dumbbells in my radio studios, and I would always do curls during breaks. Ask anyone going back to KSMO. They thought I was nuts. So, I would do them, and then all of a sudden, like a couple of years ago, like I got such a pain in the neck and the trapezius, I couldn't deal with it. So doctor friends who are into the AMA medicine said, oh, you have to get an MRI and this and that, then surgery. I said, I'm not going for surgery. But the pain was pretty intense, and it didn't stop. Whichever way you move. So what I discovered was through trial and error, when I stopped doing curls with free weights, slowly the pain went away. Now I can reinstigate the pain through the wrong motions. And a lot of it happens to do with the dynamics of the way I was moving my body. But to compensate for the dumbbells, which I'm not using, funny part. So my arms are always solid. Now they're not. The truth is they're not solid anymore. Not like you have to have the arm. Like everyone has the arm. It's like you touch the other guy's like, how are you? Oh, you're looking great. What is that? All of a sudden, everybody wants to be like with the arms. The pumped up bicep is the measure of a man. Not his soul, not his mind, but the bicep. That's the whole man is the bicep. So, okay, what can you do? So I went to a neuropsychiatrist friend of mine. I told him that I cured myself by not doing curls. I said, but the horrible thing is my arms are not looking good. He said, when have I last looked at your arms? And that did it for me. Right, so no one looks at my arm. What's the difference? My dog doesn't know if my arms don't have the bulge. What's the difference? As long as I'm not in agony. Which leads me to the show. It's Friday. Give me a break here. What do I have to do? Like get a heart attack every day? Again, everyone wants a cancer ward in radio. That's all they want. They want the guy to be like an oncologist every second eating his heart out about how bad the world is. I'm not going to live in the cancer ward 3 hours a day. I can't do it anymore. If he wins, we're still going to have a fight in our hands. If she wins, it's over. The cancer has metastasized. The patient is dead. It's that simple. That's how I see it. Yeah, that's all. I mean, I'll continue to give you the humor and this and that. What do I want to say to you? I'm not sure. I really like to lead into something early. I mean, I asked you to call for Dr. on Savage, because a few of you did. I don't know if I'm in the mood anymore. I ate the leftover paella. I really just want to, like, lay down now. I'd like to go to sleep like a Mediterranean. Why can't I have a siesta now? This is a normal siesta hour for a man, instead of being on the radio. You eat a lunch and you go to sleep for half an hour. You wake up, you have a coffee, you're refreshed. But no, I have to sit here talking and using my mind when all the blood's in my stomach. What a paella I had last night. Thursday night is paella night at this place I go to. This Basque place, man, I couldn't believe it. I know these people for 40 years. They're the most beautiful people on earth. The guy who runs it, the young guy, is so great. I can't mention his name or where it is because then I'll be bothered. But people who live in the area know where it is because they all go there. And how many people can make a real paella with saffron? He said to me, there are so many items in that paella that we only do it once a week. He said, I have to get vendors for urge. He said, I have to get a vendor for the mussel, I have to get another vendor for the clam that's right, another vendor for the right fish, another vendor for the right rice, another vendor for the chorizo, another one for the saffron. It's unbelievable. He's losing money on that dish. I told him, I added it up. He's losing money on the cost of that dish, which is true for most restaurants. They lose money on the food. You know that. The number one profit item in any restaurant is the single glass of wine, which is why they become so expensive. And it's why they make you sit so long to get that second glass of wine out of you, because that extra 9 or 10 bucks or 12, whatever it is today, is their only profit. They're losing money on the food. The food is to get you in there and get you back. But it's not what they're making money on, basically. And then when you get cheap people who don't even drink, they're losing money on you. So what are you going to do? I don't know. It's a tough business to be in. I often thought about going in. And I had a friend who was in the business once. Great guy. He said to me, you got to be insane to go in the restaurant business. Everyone's either robbing you or you're one meal away from going out of business. It's a tough business to be in. But it'd be a nice place to go. If I had my own restaurant, I think about it now. It'd be crowded with the Savage people would be in there. And You'd have your own, I'd have my own table and come in. But they, how long would that last? Then I have to talk to everybody, do another show at night. So that I always, you ever think about things you want to do and neutralize them like 2 seconds later? Like, if I do this, and then you say, nah, but, then you put the but in and you don't want to do it. So you come back to what you're doing in your life. Why, this isn't enough, 3 hours a day in writing books. But there's always so much more time. Why is there so much time in a day? Why is there so much time, I keep asking myself. No matter how hard I work, there's too much time. What is it, my mind moves too fast? Robert, does anyone else have that phenomenon? No matter what I do, there's too many hours in the day, too many hours at night. Last night I woke up 3 in the morning, I couldn't sleep. Because the food was so good, it woke me up 3 in the morning. Well, no, it's actually the second vodka that I had. That's the worst thing to do, is to eat and drink late at night. They had it right back in the old days. It was, who was it, that woman writer, the health food writer? Eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. All right, what does she know? She died of a rapid form of cancer. Okay, I know why, too. She was a big taker of cyanocobalamin, better known to you as B12. Be very careful with mega doses of vitamins. Most people don't know what they're doing. Everyone's an expert on vitamins. They read 6 articles on the internet, and they can tell you your field. Yeah, but see, the overdosing on certain vitamins can kill you. I wrote the books on this going back to 7. Be careful. What was her name? The very famous writer. Everyone knows I'm talking about. I can't think of her. She was a woman writer, no particular degrees, but she was a very smart writer, and she knew what she was doing. Unfortunately, she was a big believer in overdosing, hyperdosing, or megadosing on B12, and she got a form of cancer that back in 1983, I wrote a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist. And I did a section called A Nutritional Autopsy on her. I don't remember. I don't have the book. It's a long time ago. But I had researched that the kind of cancer she got is the cells are instigated by cyanocobalamin, meaning B12. People didn't know that. You have to be very careful. Another area to be careful of is the amino acids, the single dose amino acids. I don't take. I never did. I don't take calcium. I never did. And I have no osteoporosis. I don't drink milk. I never eat dairy. I don't go in the sun. I'm like a ghost because all the skin cancer removed from my head from the years I used to go in the sun. I don't, but I have no osteoporosis. How does that figure? How does that figure? I don't take calcium because free calcium, in my opinion, and I've known this going back to the 1970s, I used to tell people don't take free calcium because it will adhere to your arterial walls rather than to your bones. I was right. But I don't eat calcium. I don't eat cheese because I'm allergic to dairy. Once in a while, I have a piece of provolone when I'm feeding it to the dog. I don't know, how do I still have bones altogether? Because a lot is not known in medicine and nutrition. We don't know everything.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, I found that people who don't even like your politics can like you if they think you're telling them the truth. That accounts for a large percentage of my listeners, many of whom have listened for years and don't agree with anything I say, or much of what I don't say. But they like me because they think I'm being honest with them. That's all I care about, because they know they're living in a sea of deceit. They can't take it. And you look at the candidates, they say, who's lying more? Who's lying less? They may make a decision based upon the fact that she is a liar. She's a known liar. She's a grifter. She's used the Clinton Foundation as a slush fund. It's criminal activity in the minds of most Americans, irrespective of what the FBI did or did not do. So they look at Trump. They say, well, what do you mean he's a liar? What has he lied about? Look around America. How many buildings have the name Clinton on them? I think there's one called the Clinton Foundation. No one's said this yet. But look around America. Look at how many buildings have the name Trump on them. And to me, that says an awful lot. The proof is in the pudding. It doesn't matter whether he just lent his name for marketing. His name is on many buildings in New York, in Atlantic City, in Las Vegas, in Dubai. Go around the world. You'll see the name Trump on them. Go around the world. How many buildings have the name Clinton on them? None. Except the Clinton Foundation. He actually creates things. He builds things. He employs people. To me, that's enough. Right now, we're not running a college class on perfection. Well, you're perfect. Everyone's perfect, pointing fingers. They're not pure enough. They're not this enough. They're not that enough. They don't meet the textbook definition of this. Who cares? I care about three things: borders, language, and culture, and national security. That's enough for me. She'll give me none of the above. He'll give me some of the above. That's my decision. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Everyone still enjoys themselves when they're young. Not everyone. They try to more than the older people and become like stuck. No enjoyment. All they do is eat. So it happens when you get money. Remember when I was like 30 or so, I was getting my doctorate, and one of the professors said, "Michael, I just want to tell you this." He said, if you don't watch what you eat as you get older, you're going to gain a pound a year." I thought to myself, "What's he, nuts?" I couldn't imagine that in 10 years, I'll be 10 pounds every year, 20 years, 20. He was right. It's 40 years later. I mean, it's a pound a year is about what you put on. Do you know that, Robert? So be careful. You're under 30. Robert doesn't realize what it looked like at 40, 50, 60. Jim knows. Look what happened to him. No, I'm just joking. So one of my principal advertisers, Craig Smith of Swiss America, the great gold guy, says, "Michael, God really has a problem with fence sitters. In the last book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, he says, 'I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth.'" I like that. Now, that's my kind of guy. Today would be called hate speech. They take him off the air on 15 stations. God couldn't get a radio show today. He's too offensive. He's too sexist. He's too homophobic. They're probably calling up on charges in The Hague. No, if God reappeared immediately, they'd arrest him somewhere in Europe. They'd be on not the Muslim with the bomb, the Islamist with the bomb, no. No, no, the sizzling bomb, everything about to go off. Now, that's not a crime, but... oh, boy, it's Friday. What a long weekend we have. Despite the black... What? Can I ask someone out there a simple question? No, I'm not going to do it. It's too self-serving. You'll get mad at me. What I was going to ask you was this, but it's a tough question to ask before I take your calls. You support the show. You love me. You love my message. But you don't go buy the book to keep it on the list. Why? You don't want to send the message to the people out there by seeing it on the New York Times every week? It eats their heart out that those rats that they have to publish book scorched earth on the bestseller list. You know what it does to them? Restoring the Country After Malbama by Michael Savage. Do you know what that does to the people in the New York Times that have to list that book? They would wish they didn't have to. I got to tell you this. I'm going to put it in plain English. Do you know that if this book sold another 100,000 copies, it wouldn't change my income level one iota? Do you realize what I'm saying to you? Don't think I'm handling you a dollar that you have to go buy a book that I'm going to get something out of it. If it sold another 100,000 copies, it wouldn't change my lifestyle one iota. But it might change the course of the election. That's what I'm trying to say to you. That's all. I'm not going to say it again. That's the whole story. WABC in New York. Bobby, you are a stand-up comic, I understand. Where do you do your comedy?
I do it at like local bars and comedy clubs.
What's your observation?
Well, I'm an incel comic. And we're really bought, like what me, you, and Trump have in common, we're native Queens boys. And what I go with, what really bothers these liberals is the way we talk and our accent and our demeanor. Especially when I do my stand-up in these new hipster liberal areas, they hate the way I come off as a native New Yorker.
All the hipsters in New York who came from Cleveland and like Des Moines don't like you because you sound like you're from New York?
Yes. Yes. I was asked more than once to leave a comedy club after my set. I was too
rough. Just because you're too abrasive? You mean you sound like you're from New York in a New York nightclub? That's funny.
And that bothers some of these liberals, the way Donald Trump talks and the way he comes off in his demeanor. That's the way we are.
How would you describe that demeanor? It's an interesting point. How would you describe that demeanor? What is it? Abrasive? Offensive? How do you think they see it?
Belligerent, naturally belligerent, and abrasive.
Naturally belligerent. I like that. That's probably true. So why is it that so many of us who grew up in another time in Queens, I don't know your age bracket, you're probably a little younger than me, why are we naturally belligerent?
Our surroundings and the way we were brought up. Totally.
Where'd you grow up? In Howard Beach?
Close. Over, yeah.
See, how did I get? See, they don't understand this. We people from New York are like Mayans. We all have different accents, like from different regions. They can hear it, but most people can't hear it. They think we all sound the same. They think all New Yorkers of a certain era sound the same, but we don't. How did I pick up Howard Beach? I mean, I got a giggle out of you, and I know how abrasive you can be. I can hear it in your voice. To get a giggle out of you is not easy. Just to ask your ex-girlfriend. Hey, let me ask you this. How old are you, roughly?
40.
And you're still doing stand-up comedy? Can you make a buck at it?
Well, no. I get food, and that's it. Part-time.
Well, what do you do for a full living? Like, you work in a tire shop?
No, I work in a trade union.
In where?
A building trades union.
Oh, you're a construction worker.
Yes.
So I could see the whole thing already. Father the same family, union people, construction?
Yes, and 90% of our members are supporting Trump, which is killing the national union because they endorse Hillary, and they cannot believe that over 90% of our members are voting for Trump.
Well, thank God there's a secret ballot, or else you wouldn't be able to do it. In the old days, they would make you show who you voted for in order to intimidate.
Yeah, well, we don't forget that Trump used union labor to build all his buildings in Manhattan. Never forget
Never talked about. Yeah, evil Trump used union labor. You hear that? That's an important story. So what do you do on the buildings? You're in the lumber area or the electrical or the plumbing?
The fitters.
What does a fitter do?
All the boiler work, all the condensate lines, and the...
So you're a plumber, basically, right?
Yeah, well, only in New York City, the plumbers and the steam fitters are separate. It's a political thing. Everywhere else in the state, they're together.
Let me ask you something, being in the building trades. I live in an area in the suburbs, so I go by a place where 6 houses are going up. Wooden frame houses, single family. All the workers are either Mexican or Guatemalan. These guys are the best workers. I mean, they're amazing to watch them work. They are cheerful and they're hard workers from like early in the morning till late at night. What do you think about that?
Well, are they doing skilled labor or are they just doing manual labor?
I think it's mainly, I don't know how you would define the difference. I mean, when they're putting up a wall to me, or they're putting up a house that I see emerging from the mud, you know, I watched them pour the cement, then it dried for 3 months, the piles, and then they start to put it together, and I see it going up so fast. You know, like, there's a lot of prefabricated elements to it, like a whole wall will go up that's pre-made somewhere, the framers. But these guys, I watch them with the nail guns, this and that. What would you call that, skill labor with the nail gun? Or not?
Yeah, carpenter or a framer.
Yeah, but these guys are doing the job. I mean, they're building the house. And I look at them and I say, what is wrong with this picture? Nothing. Here's the question. Are there enough Americans who could do those jobs?
Yes, but then they wouldn't be unionized.
But they would not be unionized. Well, I hope that if Trump becomes president, he builds trade schools again, where kids learn how to be carpenters, plumbers, electricians, whatever the skill set is needed, and we have our own indigenous workforce. When you see 94 million people over the age of 16 who are not in the military or incarcerated or in a hospital not working, I think there's a great need for trade schools in this country. I think you'd even agree with that, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, Bobby, I wish you great luck. Where's your next appearance where they're going to throw you out?
Well, I have to stay away from the hipster areas. Usually Astoria, Queens, and Brooklyn. Brooklyn, you've been gone too long, Mike. You don't know how Brooklyn is now. There's no native...
Oh, I know. It's crazy. The prices are insane. The places that were toilet bowls, like Greenpoint, are very, very desirable. I can't believe people pay $1 million or more for an apartment in a slum.
Yeah.
I remember going back to my father's old store, God rest his soul, on Ludlow Street, years ago, like 3-4 years ago. I went back there. I got there like at midnight. I was walking around. The whole street's full of hipster bars, cigarettes. Everyone's smoking. The funeral parlor became a nightclub. His store became a nightclub. Everything is a nightclub. How many people can go to nightclubs, Bobby?
Well, that's all they have to do is just hang out and party.
It's amazing. When I was there, it was like pretty slummy, dirty, horrible. Bobby, let me send you Scorched Earth. I know you don't have to hide that book when you bring it to work. Show it to your friends proudly. And let's hope that we get a real builder winning the presidency instead of a destroyer. Bobby, thanks for that call. It was a nice little digression. Two guys just talking, and it's good for talk radio to get a real conversation going. And by the way, that's sort of the rapport I have with Trump. You'll notice that a lot of people say every time he's on the show, you guys sound like you're just having a conversation, and that's the truth. He grew up on the other side of the tracks to me, the other side of Union Turnpike, where the single attached, his father was a pretty wealthy builder. But, you know, I look back now. They showed the Trump family home. It looks like a small house to me now. When I was a kid, it looked like the Taj Mahal. Because I lived in a row house, like a brick-attached house, that to me was a palace because I'd come from a small apartment in the Bronx. So, you know, everything is relative. So we would, like, look. We would go over there by a bicycle, say, well, look at those houses up there in Jamaica States. You know, like, they're beautiful. They are still beautiful. They're still very beautiful by Cunningham Park, but they're not big by comparison to what we see today as big. They were small homes. And I think they had five children in that house. Amazing, isn't it? All right, so here we are. It's Friday. We're taking requests. It's open mic to Mike. I got time for one on Savage. I don't know if I could do this. Now everyone's calling on the spiritual thing. I don't have an answer for the spiritual thing. You're asking questions of why do you want to write a God book, or what's going on in you, or what's your motivation. To be honest with you, I don't have an answer for you, just if you're asking that. I know that just when this book was finished, Scorched Earth, and it hit the stores, within that first week, I started to get it coming up from within me. The spring started to produce the God book. I didn't sit down and say, I'm going to write a God book. The God book started to write itself through my head. That's how it works. And so what I do is either I sit down and transcribe it. I sit down and either record it, or I write down the idea, and then I try to develop it a little bit more later. That's how all of my books start. They come from within. They can't come from without. If they come from outside of you, they're hollow. If they come from within you, well, then they're deep, and they come from a deeper source. So I don't have an answer of why, but I do know, I told you, it's a cycle, and it's kind of almost sounds semi-tragic or such. I told you, from earth medicine to scorched earth, from earth to earth. So now, if you start to interpret that literally, it means it's the end of something, which it is. It's the end of something. It's the end of a cycle. So now I got to do something different. I have to do something different. But now that I'm talking about it, I'll tell you exactly what I want to do. I want to do the God book. And then I've gone into all of my old stories that I've written over the last 10 years. In fact, I found stories I wrote before I was in radio that I've had transcribed. Some of them are amazingly good. And I'm going to put out a small volume either by an e-book. If a publisher doesn't want it, I'm going to just publish my fiction in a collected volume. So, you know what, 10,000 people might buy it, 15, what's wrong with that? Not everything has to be, you know, a mega seller in order to be worth doing. I think this is something I want to talk about one day, which is everyone's always aiming for the larger audience, the largest sale. That's the nature of all of the commercial business we're all in. There's no turning back from that. Everybody wants the biggest audience and the biggest sale, right? I do. Everyone wants the biggest audience. Everyone wants the biggest. But then if that's all you're thinking about, what happens to the creative side that is not, let's say, that popular? What do you do with that stuff? Well, as a creator, or as if you want to use the word artist, which sounds a little, as a creator, someone who makes things, creates stuff, what you have to do is the stuff that you want to do at a certain point. So I want to go back to what I used to want to do and what I actually did. I want to take some of my old writings and put them in one volume, and I think many of you will like reading it. But I'm not asking you to call. I'm not selling it. It's just like a day of expression. It's an expression because it's in the midst of a time, a very, very holy time on a certain calendar. And in the midst of this holy calendar, we're closer to you-know-who than at other times of the year. And when you're closer to you-know-who, now he's really paying attention. You understand what I'm saying to you? I hope you do, because I'll be back to help you with it when I return right here in the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, here we are, just a couple of seconds left, a couple of minutes left in this hour, then another huge, huge hour for most of America, except those who were deprived of Savage in hour number three. And I can't do anything about that. All I can do is do my thing, and you got to do your thing, which is either listen to the show or find the show wherever you can via streaming or whatever. So here we are. Let's go to some of the callers, but I can't get to them. There's no time. I can take one call in this hour, all the other calls in the next hour, and then all the news, views, and reviews that you've come to expect from me. Randy on WMAL in Washington, D.C., line 2. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Sir, so I'm in the military, moved 5 times over the last 10 years, never listened to talk radio up until 6 months ago, and I came across your radio station, very intriguing. And I'm like, you know, like you said earlier, this guy doesn't lie to me. I can tell that. You just say the things that don't want to be said. But the one thing that keeps striking me, and I'm asking you, because I know you are not going to lie to me, is every time you talk about Clinton or Obama, what's that?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, every time you talk about Clinton or Obama, like tearing down this country or, you know, doing all that stuff to destroy it, where do they think they're going to live? Like where are you going to live? Like, if you're going to...
All right, here's the answer to that. You don't quite understand how a progressive works. You have no idea the degeneracy of their thought process. They are so locked into their doxies, it's like a religion to them. They don't think of the consequences. They don't care about the consequences. All they care about is power. They don't care if people will wind up starving in the streets. All they care about is getting reelected and being able to rape the treasury. Do you understand that?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The progs who can't even ride a bicycle straight are all pissed off at the Blue Angels, because when they see superiority, they have only one reaction, which is to get angry at it. So here's a little story for those of you who hate the military, especially those of you in the all-sacred Bay Area, because you do everything so right and everything is so perfect in your life. All of you anti-nuke types, Putin is adding nukes while Obama's has cut them. Now, there was a treaty, the START Treaty, where 1,500 nukes were agreed to, 1,550 deployed nuclear weapons, that Moscow and Washington agreed to as part of the 2011 New Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty. Well, Obama has taken it below that level to show what a good prog he really is, while Russia has actually deployed more warheads than 1550. They've added actually 246 more weapons to their missile silos, to their submarines, and to their bombers, while your psychopathic, crazy fluke in the White House has put us at great risk. This is at the same time that he and Hillary keep provoking Putin. At the same time they're provoking Putin, they've denuked us. So go put two and two together. That's all. Now, I didn't really want to even get into it on a Friday, but I have to get into it because it's crazier by the day. Now, you want to talk about the Hema King? We can do that. As you know, there was a direct from the Obama White House. Crazier by the day. Now, you want to talk about the Hema King? We can do that. As you know, there was a directive that came out today from the Obama White House, an executive order, that you cannot say hurricane anymore because it's an affront to women. It's sexist. It makes people uncomfortable. It doesn't give them any sense of a safe space. And that many women are actually in a state of shock because of the words hurricane, the repetitive use of the word hurricane on the media. And so, therefore, he has put out an executive order saying you have to refer to the storm as a hurricane, Hurricane Matthew. Of course, the storm was not what they said it would be, but that doesn't stop them from saying it was almost like we said it was going to be, and therefore it was the way we said it was going to be, or could have been, since it could have been the way we said it was going to be. What we said about it was not false because it could have been that way. And, of course, the biggest loser, as he's always been, a first class, I never saw anything like this guy. I've always seen him for what he is. We have to play it again. Here's Schlepper Smith on the once great Fox News network saying it will kill everybody in clip four.
Daytona Beach all the way up to Jacksonville. This moves 20 miles to the west, and you and everyone you know are dead. All of you. Because you can't survive it.
I like this.
It's not possible unless you're very, very lucky. And your kids die, too.
That's so. I hope that was his child in the room with him. Even the child said, Dad, cut it out and screamed. Dad, please, you're making an idiot of yourself. Even the child yelled out, stop, Shepard. And then we had the Weather Channel, another one on more hysteria, more warmists of the lowest order in clip five. Listen to this. This one is better than Schlepper. Listen to 05.
I'm senior hurricane specialist Brian Norcross, and I want to talk to my friends in Florida. Today, on behalf of the Weather Channel, I have a special message about the threat from Hurricane Matthew. This is like no storm in the record books. We are concerned about reports of people deciding to stay in areas under mandatory evacuation orders. This is a mistake. This is not hype. This is not hyperbole. And I am not kidding. I cannot overstate the danger of this storm. Yeah. Central and North Florida have never been hit by a hurricane.
You got the picture.
Yeah,
they meant well. This is the thing about liberalism that you don't understand, is they mean well. They were just trying to protect you. And they wanted you to evacuate because it could have come inland. But you don't know the rest of the story is that the liberals will take you know where with their best of intentions. It's like the Great Society. LBJ meant well when he said we're going to give more and more people welfare. Well, he really didn't mean well. He said we'll own them for 100 years if we put them on welfare. But it was so racist, I can't even tell you what he actually said. So some liberals mean well. They're do-gooders. And as you well know, sometimes do-gooders mean well, but they do evil. You have to be very careful. There are consequences to these acts. Obama blamed climate change for the Syrian civil war, in keeping with his other stupid statements. Let's see what we have. Obama welcomes the Pittsburgh Penguins. Why would that be a soundbite I want to play? Sports. If I go in a bar and there's sports on, I turn my back to it. I'm just going to oddball. I'm like an oddball guy. I can't take it in an age like this. In an age like this, it's unbelievable to me. Sports mania. What else do we have? Crowd laughs when Virginia Dem Luann Bennett says Obamacare has made health care more affordable. Another liar. All right, play that. Clip 13. Let's hear it.
For the last 50 years, both parties have agreed that we have a health care crisis. By 2005, we had 47 million uninsured Americans, and health care costs have grown to 16% of our GDP. The Affordable Care Act has made health care more affordable, and it's created access.
It's made it more affordable for people who don't pay for it. It's jacked up the premiums for everybody else. But look, I don't talk about health care. I talk about health. We know what it is. It's a scam. It's socialized medicine. And, of course, it will bankrupt the Treasury even further. So how much can you bankrupt a Treasury when they're printing money? Wow. What's the limit when you have a guy in the White House who's like King Ludwig II of Bavaria? A little obscure reference, I admit. Raising taxes to build this edifice for the king, the young prince who had inherited the kingdom. And nobody would tell him otherwise, so he kept building it. And, of course, Bavaria went bankrupt. This is very much like Obama. He's like the Mad King, Ludwig II, if I remember correctly. I don't think Esquire published it. I have it in my archives. I think I bet I could find it. I was fascinated by this guy. I kind of wanted to be like King Ludwig II when I was 18 and wrote that. I thought what fun it would be to be able to do things and no one could stop you. And here I wake up and I'm living with like a guy who does what he wants, even though he's bankrupting America and destabilizing the world. Isn't that something? And very few people even see it, and fewer even say it. How do you like that? How do you like that? KSFO Robert, line four, go ahead, please. You are on the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Doctor. Longtime listener. Appreciate everything you said. Listen, I actually, for once, disagree with how you just interpreted Shepard's view of the hurricane. I think that is exactly how you have to speak to, pardon me, stupid America these days, is right in the gut, which is exactly why, incidentally, we need Trump as president, because that's how he talks.
So you think that Shepard Smith said if it moves 20 miles to the west, everyone will be dead? That was the right thing for Fox News to say?
I actually believe it was, because the death toll continues to rise. How many times have we seen tragedy after tragedy, and people the stubborn folks just don't move. They don't understand Mother Nature.
So Shepard Smith maybe should get a Nobel Prize for being ahead of the curve, I guess. I mean, he's so smart. I mean, come on, you know and I know that the storm didn't do the damage they all said it was going to do.
Agreed. I agree.
But you're making an interesting point. It's esoteric in a way, but you do make your point well. He said your kids will die. Did he have to go that far?
I don't think so. That was a little below the belt, but...
I mean, I knew from the past, I had a guess, which I said it'd probably blow offshore. I said that yesterday. I said probably going to come to the shore and then blow offshore. You know, and didn't 100% blow offshore, but how come Obama never talks about the threat of radical Islam with the same sense of alarm that he does about global warming when one is real and one is false?
That's a very
you probably
good
agree with me on that. It's a very good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point, because he has an agenda and an axe to grind. And he uses religion as a Trojan horse, as I spell out. I'm going to send you the book, but I want to read this. Religion as a Trojan horseradish. Religion as a Trojan horse from scorched earth. How can Western civilization go on when our enemies are using religion as a Trojan horse to take us over? Yes, we have a belief in freedom of religion, but that's only when the word religion has a standardized meaning. When you say religion, you generally think of people who believe in God and believe in doing good and believe in letting people live their lives in peace. You say, of course, that you believe in people's freedom to express their beliefs in any way they want. Buddhist, Christian, Hindu, Jewish, and so on. Freedom of religion sounds good. But what if there's a religion that comes along that believes in order for its members to practice their freedom of religion, they have to kill you or convert you? Well, you have to curtail that kind of religion. Then you have to understand that there's no such thing as an absolute when it comes to freedom of religion. There has to be a limitation of what you mean by religion. If a religion preaches goodness, we all agree it's good. If a religion preaches death to others, then you have to say that it's not a religion but a political doctrine. This is the problem of the century. Yet we have a president and a media and a government that refuses to even understand the question, and that certainly don't know the answer. It's up to us to educate them, is it not? Sure, we believe in freedom of religion, insofar as a religion teaches peace and love and the brotherhood of man. When someone uses the concept of religion to dominate other religions through force and coercion, or to take over a nation, then you have to say, my friend, that's not a religion. That's page 147 of Scorched Earth. I suggest every religious person on earth buy that book right now. How do you like that? Now, it ties into this story to show you what danger we are in because of the Islamophile in the White House. In Australia, a Muslim preacher was thrown out of Australia for saying that global peace will only be established when the last Jew is killed. Can you believe words like this would be taught under the guise of a religion? Did you listen to what I just said to you? Even Muslim children in America are being taught to hate. The West needs to weed out those who are spreading jihadi doctrine. And you have to read more about this on Jihad Watch by Christine Williams, who says a systematic monitoring of mosques, madrasas, and Islamic centers is necessary for the sake of public safety. She is 1,000% right. And no, it need not apply to churches and synagogues, because no church in America is preaching to kill people. And no synagogue in America is preaching to kill other religious people. None, 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 none. And Trump must become president, and he must expunge this nation of this garbage and get them out of this country before we're all killed. It's much more dangerous than a stupid hurricane that didn't even hit the land. There are many such preachers of hate like this Muslim preacher who the Australians had the balls to throw out of the... They should have rounded him up and tried him and hung him for what he said. We didn't have enough with Hitler. We need more. Wear a holy robe. What the hell is the difference if he's wearing a filthy holy robe from Pakistan or they're wearing a Nazi armband? Tell me the difference. Well, he has a beard, so he's sacred. He said, global peace will only be established when the last Jew is killed. And Australia said, you're getting out of our country. How come we never hear that in this country when we know there are such preachers here in this country? How come they're not being monitored and exposed by Shepard Smith? How come Fox News never tells us these stories? There is an answer to that question as well, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation. Fox News is owned 18% by Prince Alawid of Saudi Arabia. And I suspect that there is a no-go zone, both in speech and in conduct. It's that simple. The phone number is 855-407-2822. I'm running late, and I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. I have time for a couple of great calls now on the program. Let's go to Washington, D.C., the heart of the monster. Mike on WMAL. Mike, thanks for listening. What's on your mind today?
Dr. Savage, I just want to tell you, earlier when you mentioned you didn't know if there was a market for the God book, as you called it, I just want to let you know, I believe there is because of the way you would write it. You could write it to where it appeals to the modern man. You would be able to apply some of what God has taught us through the Bible to modern...
Yeah, I have a very specific idea in mind. It wouldn't be a preachy book, and it might be something that people who generally don't buy that kind of thing or look into it might be interested in, but it's never going to be a huge kind of a bestseller like Government Zero or Scorched Earth, okay? So I was trying to say that is that I will do it anyway. I'm going to do it one way or the other, but I don't expect it to be a huge commercial success. It's not what I'm writing it for. Okay? That's all I was trying to say about it. It's the same with my earlier writings, my stories, which I have compiled and I will publish. If a publisher wants it, it's not going to be a big book. If they don't, I will publish it as an e-book because there's always a core audience for my work. And I don't know what that core audience is. It's hard to say what it might be. We'll find out come this January in another area what the core audience really is and what they're willing to expend money for. You never know. When you have a show that's free and it's big, you can get an inflated ego to think that you're so great. But then when it comes down to the fact that if people have to pay a few dollars to get the show, you'll find out how many of them are really that loyal to listening to you. And it's a different thing. I mean, this is a free show. It should be. It's free on the airwaves. The only way we survive is through the advertisers. And I hope that you patronize them because without them, there's no show. There's no. I mean, I have an advertiser been with me forever. Swiss America, the gold company. They've been with me through thick and through thin, through every trial and tribulation. These are the kind of advertisers and all the others who make the show possible. And that's why we say, please do patronize. I never talk about it. Please do patronize the advertisers. It's very important that you understand that. There is no such thing as a free lunch. So that's where we're at. Now, there's some news stories out there. The big news is, thank God, the storm did not hit the land of Florida. And yet they're acting in the media like, well, okay, let's move on now. Even though we were completely wrong, we're not completely wrong. Kids will die, says Shepard Smith. Washington Post is still reporting a major impact on Florida. Washington Post, immediate risk to life. You're going to drown. You're going to die. You're going to choke. You're going to reptiles will swim out of your nose. Why is that?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All the way up to Jacksonville. This moves 20 miles to the west, and you and everyone you know are dead. All of you. Because you can't survive it. It's not possible unless you're very, very lucky. And your kids die too.
That's Shepard Smith, the Nobel Prize winning reporter on Fox News, telling people they're going to die from the hurricane that swept out the sea. And, of course, he keeps his job. There are no consequences, as you well know, in the news business, unless you tell the truth, in which case you don't even get the job to begin with. Truth tellers don't get jobs at Fox News. Only hysterics and alarmists get jobs. And if you can cross your legs 15 times an hour and wear shoes properly, you make $6-7 million a year. I'm jealous. I mean, the fact of the matter is, why does he still have a job? The man put out an alarmist message. They're going to die from the storm. The storm blew out to sea, basically. It brushed. Let's say it brushed. But compared to the predictions, now, for the last 2 days, I've been telling you they would blame it on global warming. And, of course, they did. Hillary, of course, didn't miss the opportunity. And, of course, yesterday I gave you some scientific evidence that anyone who has high school education can follow, which is worth hearing about the 3 millimeter per year rise of sea levels over the last 120 years, as studied by British and American naval institutes, and then confirmed by satellite data. The sea levels have only been rising 3 millimeters a year for 120 years. And yet the hysterics keep putting out the lies. That's something you should know. Of course, there have been hurricanes before Obama was born. There were hurricanes, I think, even before Hillary was born, but that's stretching it. I'm not sure. She goes back so far, I'm not sure there were hurricanes in the Pliocene. But nevertheless, yeah, hurricanes did exist. They have been known to wipe portions of the earth away, even before there was industrialization. And these occur as a result, boys and girls, of natural phenomena, not because of methane gas coming out of cows' behinds. It's gotten so crazy that the most zany elements of our world are now running the world. The stupidest people on the planet are now running the world off the cliff. I often wonder why they haven't crushed terrorism, because they know who they are, they know where they're hiding, they know exactly what they're doing. If they can follow you with every one of your belches on Yahoo or Microsoft's Windows this, Windows that, Google this, Google that, every iPhone can track everybody's passing of methane, you're telling me they don't know what they're doing? They know where they are. So what prevents them from stopping it? That's the real question. Not that they created the terrorism. I think it's that they won't stop the terrorism because of a number of reasons, including the fact that they want to keep us intimidated and keep us frightened so that we don't see what they're actually doing in robbing the treasury. That's number one. And number two, to give them this extraordinary power over us, which is something that we really have to understand, that they could snuff this out in 90 days. If we had a president strong enough to do it, they would be ended in 90. They'd round them all up and put them in detention camps. That's number one. When I say all of them, I mean everybody who is of a particular orientation from another country in this country who is not here legally, number one. They would be under the surveillance of the government, and if they show any signs or symptoms or tendencies or inclinations towards terrorism, they would be put into preventative detention camps, because that is something that must be done to protect all of us. There is nothing wrong with internment. There is a reason it was done in World War II. There is a reason that the future president of France, Sarkozy, is recommending detention camps for radical Muslims in France right now to prevent the next terror attacks. It is perfectly rational to lock up criminals before they kill. Oh, we got news for you on the Savage Nation. An edict has come down from Barack Obama's White House saying that we are no longer to refer to storms such as this as hurricanes. It is offensive to women. And from now on, we must refer to them as himicanes. So add that to your new lexicon of English under Obama. No longer will they be called hurricanes. They should be called himicanes, or else you may feel the full force of the U.S. Justice Department. The news is so horrible. You know, how much cancer can a man look? Let me ask you something. Can I live in a cancer ward every day that I'm on the air for 3 hours a day? But I'm going to hear it. The cancer is spreading. Here's a little story to show you. Hillary blames hurricane on climate change. Says Trump totally unfit to protect USA from the threat of climate change. What'd you expect from a demagogue? Australia. Here it is. Muslim preacher expelled for saying global peace will only be established when the last Jew is killed. You hear this? Or Muslim preacher expelled from Australia for saying global peace will only be established when the last Jew is killed. We know he's been expelled from Australia. We don't know if he's been given a top position at CAIR and whether or not he will be breaking PETA somewhere in the White House in the next 90 days to give a lecture. But, you know, I mean, that kind of fits right in behind the scenes. In Europe right now, they're being told not to mention Muslims when a Muslim commits a terror attack. That's right. That's what the EU is doing. The European Union has instructed the so-called press not to report that Muslim terrorists are Muslim. The European Union said you can't say Muslim when a Muslim commits terror because it provokes a backlash. It provokes prejudice against Muslims. And we can't do that. You mustn't do that at all. You can't say that the perpetrator is a Muslim based upon his holy book because that would be, well, A, it's true, if it's true, but B, that's a violation of no one's rights. It's a violation of your right to say it because you have no right to say it. We have a few other stories for you on the Savage Nation. A university has distributed a 7-page speech guide. Now, that's interesting. We thought that liberal arts colleges were supposed to be liberal. We thought liberal arts colleges were supposed to teach the tenets of liberalism. Well, they are. Their tenets of liberalism is that you can't speak. You must speak only what they say you should speak. That's the new liberalism, which is a form of fascism. I have a little message for you, if you're listening to me. If you fear you're being listened to or watched by these degenerates in the NSA and the CIA, do what I do. Tell them to drop dead. Every time you pick up an iPhone or you go near a computer that you think has a camera, curse them out. Tell them that one day they're going to be tried like the Nuremberg trial for what they're doing. Tell them although they're brain-dead drug addicts, they're going to be held responsible for violating your Fourth Amendment rights and that you will prosecute them should the time come and we get an actual honest administration, not this monster in the White House who has created the greatest surveillance state ever seen in the history of the world, Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Global Warming. Curse them out. Tell them what you think of them. You know who they are? They're just college kids who took jobs and then went to work either through Booz Allen, emphasis on booze, or the NSA hires them through the Booz Allen so they could pay them more money, or the U.S. government hires them. These are the lowest of the low. These are basically computer geeks without a soul. These are people without a soul. These are people without a heart, without a mind. They're robots with arms and legs. They're mental masturbators. They're mental midgets. That's who works for these companies. Spit on them the next time you see them through your screen. We'll throw this in for you. An NBC reporter has said the UN climate deal is designed to stop hurricanes. Now, that's interesting. NBC's Ron Allen thinks the climate deal is designed to stop storms like Hurricane Matthew. This shows you the level of not only uneducated dolts who are in the American media, but absolutely stupid drug-addicted morons. I don't know how they get these... Wait a minute, sorry. I back up. Of course I know how they get the jobs. Their bosses are stupider than they are. Okay? Here's a headline. Airlines under scrutiny for profiling of Muslim passengers. Apparently a Muslim named Karimuddin Makhzoumi was pulled off a Southwest flight because he was speaking to his uncle in Iraq in Arabic, and a passenger got nervous. So in steps the terrorist-loving Council on American-Islamic Relations, files a complaint against Southwest Airlines with Obama's U.S. Department of Transportation. They want a federal investigation into Southwest Airlines practices that can result in discrimination against Muslims, according to Saba Maher, the civil rights coordinator for the terrorist-loving care chapter. And so here we go. In other words, common sense dictates certainly not to pick on people because of their religious and racial identity. But we have had planes hijacked by Muslims. If you recall, there were a few incidents not too long ago conducted by Muslims screaming Allah Akbar. But that doesn't stop CAR from pursuing the courts to pursue their agenda, which seems to be to create a caliphate around the world. The only one who can save us is Donald Trump. I know he's flawed. I know he's not a true this. I know he's not a true that. But I know he's the only one who'll put this nonsense to bed and stop all the enemies of our survival before they start again. And if they don't like it here, let him get out of our country and go back to the crap hole they came from. Let him go back to his sacred Iraq and see how he's treated. Read all about it in Scorched Earth before you can't read all about it in Scorched Earth. What is this now? Oh, despite the blacklisting by the Prague media, I am proud to announce that my book, Scorched Earth, has made it for the third week now to the New York Times. That's without Fox News. That's without anybody but you. Isn't that great? So if you have a copy that you've read, will you please give it to a Prague relative, wife, in-law, neighbor, to try to save America before the election, please. Or buy another one, okay? I need a new pair of shoes. That's not the point. So here are the Ten Commandments of liberalism in Scorched Earth, page 117. Man is evil in poisoning the earth. The earth is a living organism and needs to be protected. All white people are racist. All people of color are good. All refugees should be allowed in and given whatever they want. If people make too much money, it should be taken from them. Government handouts have no price tag. Nature should be protected at all costs unless you don't like your gender. Burning the American flag, yeah, is protected speech. All players on the international stage have equal credibility. And so our brainwashed, drugged youth cast their brainwashed, drugged youth votes. We have immigrants who want things for free who are being legitimized in an illegitimate way. Jerry Brown, for example, has allowed the Department of Motor Vehicles in California to automatically register illegal aliens. So they guarantee not a one-party system, which is what we already have in California, but a no-party system, just an autocrat having a big party. This is the dissolution of democracy itself under the guise of diversity. Diversity is destroying democracy. That, my friends, is page 117 of the best-selling book, Scorched Earth, worth the price of admission for that page alone. Don't you think? I told you my first commercial book was called Earth Medicine, about American Indian medicine, 1972, Macmillan Publishing. My last book is called Scorched Earth, the last popular political book. Now, that one was a health book. I get it. Popular health, popular politics. From Earth Medicine to Scorched Earth, it's a cycle. I think the cycle's been completed from Earth to Earth. And I've been trying to say to my audience that the next book I want to do is going to be about God. Now, I don't know whether there's a market for that. I don't think that there is. I think that there's a very small audience for such an odyssey. It'd be my own odyssey and the odyssey of the callers. But I feel I have an obligation to go into that world. And maybe it's preachy and boring for mass media. I don't know. What do you think about that? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. It's Friday, as you well know. We're coming to the end of the show, and then we got the Blue Angels weekend out here, and to those in Florida who, thank God you didn't have any deaths. I know there's a lot of flooding, especially in the northern part of Florida, not to be dismissed lightly, but the fact of the matter is it was not the catastrophe that the Weather Channel and Chef Smith and all the warmers promised you, thank God. Now let's go to some of the callers in the waning moments of the program. Bill on KSFO, 30 seconds or less, fire away.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, something you said earlier about the typo, universal donor, mind, blood, all that being run together in a kind of a universal theme hit me and struck me as the same way that I am in the way I can be accepted into any situation, any cultural situation, any kind of conversation, even if the people are not speaking my language.
Right. That's what I stumbled upon it because I think out loud. I'm a free thinker. And just as I said, just as I'm a typo, a blood typo, I said I'm a cultural typo or a mind typo where I can contribute almost to any situation. And people have always accepted me by and large, except in certain circles. But the fact is, I think that there are people who are cultural typos, and that's something new to the world of thought. And I thank you for that call. Now let's move on to the next 30-second or less situation. KVOR, Melissa, line 4, very important topic. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm just wanting to know why we don't hear anything on the media right now about how severe it is in Russia and what's going on with Russia and Syria.
What do you mean by how serious it is? Which part of it?
That they have already threatened that if we even go into Syria, that they are going to retaliate. And it's an act of war, And we've got people in Saudi Arabia, which we are with Saudi Arabia, are sitting there with 350,000 troops right on the border, 20,000 tanks, and there's nothing being said on the media about how...
Well, because this is Obama provoking World War III, this is Hillary provoking World War III, no one will deny that Russia is practicing a form of barbaric bombing. No one will deny that, but the fact of the matter is they want to once and for all wipe out the Islamists. They want to get them out of Syria. They want it gone. They want it over with. And unfortunately, this situation is showing us, perhaps for the first time quite clearly, which side this country, this administration has been on. Obama has always been on the side of the extremists, always been on the side of the Islamists, always been on the side, for example, of the al-Nusra Front, and even ISIS itself, perhaps. This is the conundrum that we all find ourselves in. They're telling Russia, how dare you bomb the Islamists? How dare you do it? And Russia's saying, we'll do what we have to do to get rid of them once and for all. And now we're seeing America saying, if you do it, we'll go to war with you. We'll have our fighter jets shoot your fighter jets down. What side do you think we're really on? Isn't that the biggest story, Melissa?
Yeah, and we're on the wrong side because of the Obama administration.
Correct, because from the get-go, this country or this administration, to be specific, has been against Assad. They want Assad gone at all costs without saying what they will replace him with. Assad is a terrible, terrible dictator. He has caused hundreds of thousands of deaths in the Civil War. But the question is, who will replace Assad? Do these people not think of the consequences? Look at what they did after they killed Gaddafi in Libya. Who replaced Gaddafi? The Islamists.
Savage.